Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners, to our Blog Talk Radio show sponsored by the International Coaching Federation, the Phoenix Chapter. I'm delighted to be with you. I am Tamara Stark, and I am the moderator for this program. The title of our show is Coach Conversations with Marnie Weber, and I am delighted to be with Marnie today. Before I introduce her, I'd like to remind you that you are able to call in with questions anytime during our program at 1-424-243-9638. We look forward to your questions. So welcome, Marnie.
Hi, Tamara. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, I know this is going to be an exciting show today. And before I get into questions for you, I'd like to tell the listeners a little bit more about who you are, Marnie. Marnie comes to us with just a fantastic background. She holds a BA in English, professional writing with a minor in psychology. Previously, she's been a business strategy coach, a co-owner of her family's fine jewelry business, and led a national public relations campaign and internal communications program for high-profile technology corporations in Silicon Valley. Marnie also is a graduate of Coach U in 2004 and is currently pursuing her ICF credential. She also serves as the Vice President of Programs for our ICF Phoenix chapter. And she is also the Secretary on the Executive Committee of the National Association of Women Business Owners, the Phoenix chapter, a member of the Senior B2B Networking, a network of senior service providers, and a member of Duet's Caregiver Services Advisory Committee, a caregiving support for not-for-profit groups. So Marnie comes to us with a wealth of background, great passion, and great ideas for her coaching business. Marnie currently is the owner and the facilitator of the caregiving coach. Marnie, tell us a little bit about what that business means and what it means to be a caregiving coach.
Well, having been a coach and a business strategy coach for a number of years, I was looking for something that was more of a heart-based solution, something that I could really engage all of myself in. And I had some experiences personally where I had a number of my loved ones become ill at the same time, and I'm an only child, and I needed to jump in to help them get to their doctor's appointments, be with them in the hospital, help manage their care, ultimately make a lot of decisions financially, legally, as well as living assistance options. And I learned how difficult it was to run my business and take care of another person who's ill. And I started to get really curious about how I could transition my coaching practice and how primarily I could help other people who were in my situation dealing with really difficult decisions that they had to make for someone else, the consequences of illness and caregiving on a family. And so I came up with this idea of the caregiving coach that is about applying coaching, the skill and gift of what coaching does for people, directed at the needs of families who are going through this very difficult time in their lives. And then the more I learned about the senior services industry and elder care services, I realized how beneficial my work could be to also help professionals who serve these families. So the caregiving coach was born. It's a service, a coaching and consulting service, but primarily about coaching to help people deal with the, basically the way I talk about it these days is creating a healthy balance between giving and receiving, how and what you do to give, and then how you receive renewal and strength for yourself so you can keep giving.
Wow, Marnie, that sounds like a fabulous service and greatly needed by a lot of us in this community. So tell me, if somebody were to approach you as a family member who is caregiving for someone, what would be the kinds of things that you might help them explore?
Well, first of all, everyone comes with their own agenda. You know, as you and I both know, Tamara, coaching is so much about the individual's agenda. So when I talk about what I work with people on, it's really the things that I see as common themes, the thread that seems to show up in throughout various coaching sessions that I have. One of the first reasons somebody will realize I want to work with Marnie and get a, have a caregiving coach is they're struggling with a decision that has to be made on behalf of their family member. Now, this is a family client. If it's an individual, there's usually, for example, someone would come to me because their parent. Perhaps they're seeing signs of increasing dementia. They're becoming very concerned about their loved one living alone. Maybe they're seeing they're not eating as much as they used to. They're calling and checking on them on a regular basis. And they're starting to realize that mom or dad is going to need more help. They have their own business and or, you know, have their own career. They're very busy, so they're having a difficult time balancing what mom or dad needs along with these big decisions. So they say, you know what, I could use some help. I need to figure out what I need, what mom needs. I need to understand this better, and where do I go for help? And so that's one of the reasons why people will come to work with me.
Wow, that's great. And I'd like to remind our listeners that you can call in with questions at 1-424-243-9638. So, Marnie, what happens for people in this coaching experience as a caregiver with you? What do you see as the results of the incredible work you're doing with them?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that the results are incredibly moving to me. The impact that the coaching seems to be having is very powerful. One of the things that a client recently shared with me is she said, you know, when I came in to start working with you, I had all these ideas of the way it was supposed to be between mom and me and what it was supposed to be with mom. Mom lives a couple doors down the street from her. And by the way, this is a client who has allowed me to openly share her story. She's one of the women who, one of my clients who endorses me. So everything I say is actually posted on my blog in an endorsement. Because confidentiality is actually essential to the coaching relationship, and I take it very seriously. So she's someone who said, one of her quotes was, now I know what I can and can't do for mom. She had these grand plans and expectations of the way things were supposed to be. Now she feels calmer. When she's relating to mom, they can have calmer conversations about what's next. She doesn't expect mom to react in different ways, and she understands more when things become heated between them. She understands the interplay of what's at stake for both of them. And then this particular client had a sister who lives in Wisconsin. My client lives in Northern California. Her sister lives in Wisconsin. Mom is on the phone calling her, calling the sister, and so the sister then got involved in our coaching conversation, and we started. I provided some coaching to her sister, and suddenly the communication pattern throughout the entire family is healing. Sister has a better understanding of what's happening in the caregiving dynamic. So everybody's relationships are just so much better, and the primary caregiver is like, she just doesn't know what to think anymore because she's just so calm and she feels so good about everything, and she's handling everything one step at a time, and she's got a plan in place.
Wow, that's fabulous. Yeah, so that's part of what you're hoping to support people through in the coaching process, is that they come out feeling much better than when they came in.
Absolutely. And that is, I will say it's two parts. One is emotional wellness, that you get clear about your emotional well-being, and two is practical strategies so you can make decisions. You know, my clients walk away with a clear plan, whatever the plan that's right for them, but of actual real action steps that they're going to take. It's almost like a crisis readiness plan. Either they're dealing with the crisis they're in right now, or they're prepared for the crisis that's coming, both both emotionally and practically.
And I remember once, Marty, when you and I were talking as colleagues, that you used a wonderful description of walking side by side with somebody in this caregiving process. Can you say more about that?
Yeah. Well, having been a caregiver, I'm glad you asked me that question, because one of the other answers to your question is validation, what people get from working with me, and it's that part of me walking hand in hand with them. A client just the other day just was like, I feel so validated. I now understand that what I'm going through isn't unique, and it's not, there's not something wrong with me that I've done something wrong. I now get it, that this is normal, and you understand me and understand this process so well that I feel validated, and, you know, nothing's better than an individual feeling validated, and that's that walking side by side with them. I've been there, I've done it, I get it at a very deep, powerful level, and I'm able to provide them something they don't have. Caregivers are unsung heroes, and they're the ones that sit in the corner of the room at the doctor's office when the patient is being taken care of by the doctor and the nurse, and diagnoses are being given and major life changes are occurring, and the caregiver sits in the corner and nobody's paying attention to them and their needs, and all their focus has to be on the patient as well. So I'm the advocate for the caregiver.
Wow. So you're also their advocate as well as their coach.
That's how they feel about it. Because they feel that I am, it's not only as I'm in the coaching conversation, not only am I asking them questions that are helping them understand where they need to go, but they feel like I'm championing them. And they know when they're working with me, even if I'm not on the phone with them, even if we're not in session, they know that I'm holding them in their heart, in my heart, and that I'm going to be watching out for them and where they're headed. It's all, you know, emotional and energetically, but they feel like they've got somebody in their corner when they start working with me.
Wow. That's a great gift you're giving them by being a fabulous coach. And I also understand that you are also working with professional caregivers and supporting them as a coach in the work that they're doing as professionals. Can you say more about that as well?
Well, you know, that is really, I mean, I am not only a coach, but I'm a business owner. I'm an entrepreneur, and it's really important to me that people, you know, when people hear my story, that they understand that part of me as well, that knows that if you're going to have a coaching practice, you really have to have a marketplace to deliver your services in. There has to be return on investment, and you have to identify a real problem that you're solving in our society with our coaching services. So the professionals who come to me, and my clients are 50-50. 50% of my mix is professionals and 50% are family caregivers. The professionals who come to me are often facing an amount of exhaustion or burnout or frustration because they're giving every single day, every single part of them. They're applying all of their professional wherewithal and skills and strengths on behalf of other people. Sometimes their own professional goals get lost. They get burned out, and they need renewal. They need to see themselves freshly from what it is that they have to offer their clients and their customers, and go back. Most of the people who work in the senior services profession are, they do it as a mission as much as a profession. It's an avocation for them. It's something they do that is part of who they are. Well, as a result of that, there can be some downsides, some downsides to giving so much of yourself. So we work on their professional goals, their business strategies, as well as the things that are personally blocking them or holding them back from achieving what they want to achieve.
Mm-hmm. And I know that early on when we were talking today, Marna, you mentioned being a heart-centered business, having this be a heart-centered business. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that for us?
Well, as you asked me that question, what comes up for me, Tamara, is I'm a networker. I go out and I go to networking meetings, and there was a point in time when I was out there networking about my business strategy coaching practice. And I was in this meeting surrounded by business people talking about business issues, and I felt like there was only about a quarter of my percent of myself in the room. It was like my brain was in the room and my heart was outside in the car going, can we go now? Can we go now? Can we go do something that I love? That's what comes up for me when you ask me that question.
Yes.
I needed to honor my heart and my soul, and what I realized, what I learned, what caregiving for my family taught me is that I am a caregiver at heart. I had been a caregiver my entire life. So it was really about merging my heart and my head, my business savvy to say, what can you do to engage your heart fully, and where do you see other people doing the same? So how can you be a role model and a support system for people who are also leading with their heart, which is what people in the professionals in the senior services industry do.
Wow. And I heard you so clearly elaborate that when you described how you work with your clients, which on one hand you really help them deal with the emotional and, you know, whole personal response to being a caregiver, their fears and their anxieties as well as their joys, and then you also leave them with the plan. So you really do combine that heart and head combination in the way in which you coach with people.
I do. Many years ago, someone said to me, or said about me to a meeting. She was introducing me to people, and she said, Marnie is one of the most skilled people I've ever seen at connecting both the practical side of things and the emotional side of things. That was probably 8 years ago, and it stuck in my head. And as I was designing my business and my practice and kept bringing it into alignment, because I believe that as coaches we have to walk the talk. You know, I have to be in alignment with myself in order to help other people be in alignment with themselves. And I kept hearkening back to that thing I remember her saying, and I kept asking myself, are you doing that yet? Are you really doing that every day? And I finally have figured out a way to do it every day. And now, I mean, my hours just fly by. The more I do it, the more I'm in the flow, and the more it's just a wonderful thing.
Wow, that's a juicy tidbit. Can you tell us, can you share with us how you do that for yourself every day?
Well, my practice, my own personal and spiritual practice, is about balancing the business choices and decisions I need to make with where I want to go from my soul. And I don't let myself off the hook. If something doesn't feel in complete alignment, I don't feel great about it, and I'm not super excited about it, and it's not happening really easily, I know there's something out of sync. Either, and I know myself well enough now to know, either I'm being too heart-based and there's not enough business savvy or clear strategy that's going to make it go well, and I'm going to find, you know, I'm going to be able to talk about return on investment, and I'm going to be able to, you know, go and sell my services into a company. Or the other way, I'm being too business oriented, and again, my heart is out in the car saying, can we go to the park and go play? You know, so I'm constantly, one of my theories about my work for myself and with others is about awareness and being very clear about what it is that is going on inside my brain and my heart. What am I saying? What am I thinking? What are my belief systems? And constantly challenging them to the point that they get very clear and I can act on them once they get clear. But so much of the work is often clearing away the confusion so we can get clear. That's what I do in my work with myself as well as with my clients.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it sounds like you're very much in your authentic self, and that it shows up in your business as well, in your coaching business. I would like to remind callers that if you have a question, you can reach us at 1-424-243-9638. And the phones are open, and when we receive your call, Anna will announce you. And I also want to thank Anna, one of our fabulous volunteers from our ICF chapter, who organizes this blog radio show every month. And I would also like for you, Marnie, to tell us how people could reach you. You mentioned you have a blog. So how could they reach you if our listeners are interested in finding out more about what you do?
Well, the easiest way is to go onto my website and my blog, which is thecaregivingcoach.com, thecaregivingcoach.com, thecaregivingcoach.com. And then they can email me at Marnie@thecaregivingcoach, and my name is spelled M-A-R-N-E-E.
Great, thank you. And they can also access your blog then on your website.
Yeah, it's a blog, or you can type in thecaregivingcoach.com/blog and get to it directly, but it's a link on my website.
Marnie, what led you to deciding to leave your corporate career and become a coach?
Well, I was very successful. I was an individual who very fortunately landed in the right place for me and my skill set when I was just coming out of college, and I was very successful. And by the time I was 30 years old, I was a vice president running one of the most prestigious boutique PR agencies in San Francisco. Not running it, but I was a VP in this organization. I was one of three individuals who were running it. And I had experienced a lot in those 8, 9, 10 years, and I felt like something was missing, and I had no idea what it was. And I went out and I got a book. I went to this bookstore, and I was just looking for something to help me. And this book jumped off the shelf at me. As a matter of fact, I'm pulling it out of my bookshelf right now. And it's a book written by Martha Beck, who has written for Oprah Magazine and has appeared on The Oprah Show. And she wrote this book called Finding Your Own North Star. And this book is dog-eared like nobody's business. It's got writing throughout it, which I don't usually have enough patience to go through all the exercises of books that I get. I usually just skim through them. But this one is well-used. And somewhere in it, I realized that I didn't even know what coaching was. I just knew that I wanted to mentor, that the part of my work that I loved the most was mentoring other professionals over the 10 years, was serving my teams and also advising my clients. And I started building from there. I started doing research, and I learned about Coach U, and I was like, you know, a light bulb went off. I mean, everything, all the signs were there, and I enrolled and loved every single second of my coach training. It just was like I was meant to find it, and I'm so glad that the coaching profession was around when I was looking for what I was supposed to do with my life.
And so when you became a coach, you didn't have the idea yet to be the caregiving coach. That came later, right?
Much later. I mean, the caregiving coach, I think I turned my LLC, I submitted my DBA paperwork for the caregiving coach about 2 years ago, something like that. The caregiving coach I was calling myself a coach from the time I graduated from Coach U in 2004. I was doing business strategy coaching. I had a very different type of work I was doing and coaching entrepreneurs and leaders of organizations. But I was always looking for something more.
So what do you think is the difference in somebody just, you know, out in the field who is a caregiver or works with caregivers saying, well, I am a coach too, but they haven't had training? What do you think the training has done for you that other people who are in the field might want to consider in terms of becoming a coach?
Well, I feel very strongly about this topic. As a matter of fact, I was just presenting to a group of my peers of senior services professionals, and I very clearly just spent 3 or 4 minutes outlining the benefits of credentialing and a credentialed coach. And I say to people unabashedly that I believe if you're going to call yourself a coach, that having coach-specific training how would I put it? I just think that it's essential for the validity and credibility of the coaching profession that you receive coach-specific training. I think that, and I'll try to give you an example of this. I was talking with someone the other day, and she was telling me that she was talking to a potential coach. That person was giving her a lot of advice what she should or shouldn't do. So the person was attempting to become, they were attempting to kind of decide if they were going to work together. The person who said she was going to coach her was giving her a lot of advice about what she shouldn't do. And this woman just didn't really feel very comforted by that and felt like it wasn't really about her. It was really about what this person who said she was a coach wanted for her. And I was, what I was able to explain was that a coach, when they're trained properly, asks a lot of questions that are all about you, eliciting your own knowledge and inner awareness. It's not about the coach's agenda. It's about your agenda. And we're specifically trained in, to help you discover what's inside of you, not tell you what I think is inside of you. And I think that's a distinction that you learn through coach training. You learn the skills and competencies that allow you to become a better listener and look for ways to ask the kind of questions that elicit understanding and knowledge inside the client. And I don't think anything else is coaching. I know the ICF doesn't consider that coaching. I'm going through my credential mentoring to get my credential right now, and one of the biggest things we talk about in that mentoring program is advising is not coaching. And if you provide any advice during your exam, you won't pass the exam.
Mm-hmm. And so tell us more about the credential that you're working toward, Marnie.
Well, I have all of the... I have all the requirements that meet, I believe I have some of the requirements that meet each of the levels. I've got training at a master certified level. I've got different levels, but the one thing I don't have is I don't have a lot of documented client hours. So I just, with the nature of the way I worked over time, I wasn't documenting a lot of my client time. I didn't necessarily know when I was going to go after my credential, yada, yada, yada. So where I am at is I am pursuing my first level of the associate certified coach level. And what I've realized in all of this process is that I wanted to go after a professional certified coach level, which is the second level, and I was trying to get there, and I finally thought, you know, this credential is too important to me. It's important in my industry, for one, in the senior services industry, I feel that it's important, but I have found going after the credential to be a powerful experience, just learning about or studying more, not learning about, studying deeper levels of the core competencies. I've just loved every second of it, and it helps me become more excited about being a coach and just love the power of coaching more and more. I think the credential process is just awesome personally, and so I'll be in ACC, if I pass my exam, I'll be in ACC probably in the spring.
Congratulations. That's great. So you're walking your talk about the importance of continued training and certification for you as a coach.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I realized when I realized I had to go do the credential, I would realize I was talking up the power, everything I just said about, you know, how strongly I feel about it. I was talking about it that strongly, but I was afraid personally to go after my credential. And so when I finally made the decision, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. It was like I was looking into myself saying, there's something out of sync here. You are out of alignment. And when I realized I was completely out of alignment, that I was allowing my fears to hold me back from going after my credential, I said, that's it. You're going to go pursue your credential, whatever the outcome is. And I've been just absolutely thrilled that I made that decision.
Stepping in, stepping up and stepping in. That's fabulous. Yes. Mm-hmm. I want to remind listeners that if you have a question for Marnie, call us at 1-424-243-9638. And I'll check in. Anna, do we have any callers on the line yet?
Yes, we have. Connie Kandinsky is ready to do a question, so I'm going to unmute her. Okay, Connie, you are on the air and you can make your question.
Welcome, Connie.
Oh, hi. Hi, Marnie. It's really interesting to hear the progression that you've made. And I have a question about yesterday. I was talking to a lady, and she's 56 years old, and she's very active business owner. And her husband is older than her, and he just had a knee replacement. And she said, I am just so mad because he is not doing what the doctor told him to do, and he is making my job so hard. And I could just feel her frustration. So how would somebody like me, just as a person, introduce coaching and talk about how a coach could possibly help her through this and help her with this situation with her husband, because it's starting to really impinge, like you were saying, it was starting to impinge on her business. So what kind of advice would you give me on introducing coaching and you?
Sure. Well, it's a great question, and thank you for bringing it forward, because it just really anchors. I love to hear how people are struggling with the impact of illness, because I know that there are alternatives for them, and I just love to help. So one of the first places I would start if I was talking to her is asking her questions about the impact that this is having on her life. Where is it affecting her? To get her to a place where she can anchor into where it's hurting her. So as she's frustrated with her husband, and I hear that a lot, by the way. As a matter of fact, there's a whole other section of coaching that is blossoming out there in the world called health coaching that is about coaching the husband in this case to follow through with his therapy and take care of his medical needs. But usually it's the wife or the daughter or the son that's trying to get the person to do the things that they need to do, and there's an impact it's having on their lives. So the impact is where I start. Where is this hurting you? What are you having to sacrifice? Is this, and I'll give you a couple possible answers also to have some insight, how is this hurting your marital relationship with your husband? What damage is this causing? How is this affecting your ability to do your work? Is it somehow taking you away from making the money that you need to make? And the reason I start there is to help them to see that it's not just that they're frustrated. If they're complaining about it, to get them to a place of, are you just going to complain about it, or are you going to realize that there's really something I can do about this? And so the caregiving coach, what I do is take it from that acknowledgement of the impact it's having to, where are there possibilities that you're not seeing? And are there ways of enhancing your relationship? If she were to say, well, it's damaging my marriage, I would look to ways within the marriage to see what she could build on from previous experiences to help them through this time. But I'll tell you, Connie, the first place you start is acknowledgement. If you can get her to acknowledge the impact, that opens everything up for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
There's one other thing I'll say, and I'll say that what I have realized recently is it takes people a lot of personal courage to admit the impact the illness is having on their lives, as well as even more courage to say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get some help and I'm going to talk about this. Most people who are in caregiving situations just feel like, I should do this, I'm supposed to do it, his illness is more important, it's the most important thing in our lives right now, so I should just be sacrificing. And it takes a lot of courage to admit to yourself and not to feel guilty for the feelings that you have. So if you can make that easier for her and help her realize how courageous it would be for her to take care of herself and therefore how it would help her husband and their marriage, that's where the gift is.
Well, and I think that she's definitely there, that she is so frustrated, that he's making her job so much harder. Mm-hmm. And she's not a shy person. And so let's just say that she admits that it is really, really bothering her. Do I say, I know somebody that helps people, helps families, like yours? Have you ever considered that? Would that be a value? I mean, you know, to say, hey, this may be helpful. Do you know even that this is out there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what helps is to find out where she thinks one of the problems is. Like, is she think it's she knows the once you know the impact. Well, where is one of the problems? You know, is it because your communication with you and her husband, or is it that you're trying to control too much of the situation? You want him to do what you have an idea of what you want him to do, but he doesn't want to do it, so you're having this power struggle between the two of you. You know, oftentimes some of my work is about having people take their hands off the steering wheel and admit they have no control over it and coming to peace with the fact that the person who's ill is going to do what they want to do.
Mm. Oh, that's interesting. So that's good. So it's not like you're going to just go in there and coach her on how to coach him, but that makes sense.
No, as a matter of fact, everything we talk about is about the person and the experience they're having. So based on what you just said to me, if you were her, my guess is that what I'm hearing is that there's a power struggle going on between the two of them. He's having his own reaction to the illness and his debilitation. He's really struggling with that. He might be struggling. Who knows what he's struggling with? That's bringing up all sorts of stuff in her, and they're having this push and pull because it's affecting her. She's getting resentful. So it's that acknowledgement for her of that experience, and then asking her what does she want to do about it? How does her highest self want to respond to this? Sometimes we have to clear away some of the resentment first, most of the time. We have to clear away the anger first in our sessions, and then we can get to, well, how do I really want to respond to this? And they start accessing the more compassionate side of themselves so that they can take care of themselves and take care of the other person effectively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the question.
Uh-huh.
Connie, any other questions for Marnie?
No, I think that does it.
All right. Thanks for being with us.
Yep.
Anna, do we have another caller, or should we keep talking?
You can. There are people listening, I see, in the system, but then nobody else is on the phone. And I will remind again, the phone number to call in to do a question is 424-243-9638.
Thank you, Anna. Marnie, I have a question for you. I thought that was a wonderful piece that you just did with Connie. Thank you very much. And who would you describe as your ideal client?
Well, so the first, obviously, is the individual. And Connie did an excellent job describing my ideal client. I have worked with men. I do have, I would say, about 25% of my clients are men. But I do, primarily it's a woman. We women are natural-born caregivers, many of us, and certainly my clients. These are people who have been caregiving for a long time. I'll use another word, another term. These are often people who have all sorts of experience in their lives with a term called codependency, where they have been in relationships throughout their life where they're in a power struggle between how much do they take care of someone else to help them get their needs met and how much do they hold back. They're people who give a lot of themselves to other people. They're people other people turn to in their lives to help them. They're always taking care of others and always knowing they're not taking care of themselves quite as well. Or it's somebody who's really dealing with just a real practical, you know, like I said, the confusion of when a parent or a spouse has gotten dementia or Alzheimer's. Those two diagnoses can be very, very debilitating to a family as the illness continues. And so that is an area of, if you know of someone who is has a loved one who has dementia or Alzheimer's, they're probably dealing with a whole bunch of stuff that they could use a safe place to go and talk to about the challenges that illness is causing on their lives. So those are two things. that kind of help clarify, you know, an individual. Now, also, I am currently looking for relationships with assisted living facilities and organizations, organizations that are provide assisted living services or memory care services, where seniors who are facing the debilitation of their ability to take care of themselves on a daily basis or the debilitation of an illness, and where I can provide a service to both the family members who advocate on their behalf, as well as just deal with, I have a client who came to me recently who, after 10 years of caregiving, moved her loved one into a facility, and now she's dealing with the results of that impact and letting go of that responsibility. It's a real powerful conversation we're having about that. So those are clients I'm also looking for, is assisted living facilities who are interested in bringing me on staff or being an outsourced provider where I can help these families and the professionals that serve the elders who are in need.
Wow, that's really, really great. Yeah. And so, again, can you remind our listeners how they could reach you?
Well, you know, you can call me anytime you want. So my phone number is 480-949-3867. I am always happy to talk to anyone about this issue, and if I can help and provide resources, that's a great way. Or you can go on my website at thecaregivingcoach.com, or you can email me at marnie@thecaregivingcoach.com. I'm very accessible.
Marnie, I know that you're also very involved in leadership roles, both in our ICF Federation coaching chapter here in Phoenix, as well as in NABO and some other groups. Can you tell us a little bit about what led you to choose to take on leadership responsibilities in particularly business organizations and coaching groups?
Well, you know, I think, you know, at what point in your life do you realize you're a leader? You know, I have always been a leader, and I remember my first leadership role was when I was, you know, 14 or 15 in my church youth group, and I became one of our, you know, youth group's top leaders. We called them servant leaders at the time. And I think that's it's in my genes to be someone who is interested in the workings of an organization that I'm involved in and wants to help set the tone for the direction that organization is going in. If I'm involved in an organization, I jump in with both feet, both arms, my heart, and my head. I'm very careful about the organizations I participate in because I want to engage myself. I start to see ways that things can be better. I always do that. Wherever I go, I'm always looking for ways that can be better. That just also is very ingrained in me. My stepfather was a construction worker and a leader in his field, and he was very sought after because he was always looking for ways to make things better, do things better, and I learned that very well from him. So that it's a natural. It's a natural thing. It's a natural instinct for me. And then I just choose carefully where. You know, I'm a leader in the NABO organization because I feel very strongly about women's empowerment and just women in general. I have a lot of passion for women and helping women be stronger, better, and overcome the discrimination that we face and sometimes the violence that we face in all sorts of ways, verbal and physical, and objectification of violence to women. So NABO is my gift to other women, to help women who have decided to help themselves. So that's why I serve in NABO, to make that organization as great as it can be for other women who see entrepreneurship as a way of helping them. And the ICF, I just absolutely adore being a coach, and taking on the role of VP of programs has been an absolute joy. It's helping me become a better coach. It's helping me become more confident, and I just want to help other coaches as much as I can.
Wow, that's what a great gift you are in terms of your leadership and your willingness to volunteer and to support the organizations that you care about. Marnie, how do you get support for yourself as a coach and in the work that you're doing?
Well, I have some brilliant friends and mentors who are very spiritually based and very psychologically based, who help me on my path. My hobby is self-enlightenment. I say that just laughingly. It sounds ridiculous, but it's really true. I'm a voracious reader. I've studied Buddhism, and I was a fan of Abraham Maslow many, many years before he was popular. I love psychology. I love spirituality, religion. I just find it fascinating, and I just love it. So where I get my my strength is surrounding myself with people I can turn to work out my challenges, who are very deep, powerful, primarily women, other than my husband, who is a tremendous support system for me. He's just an angel of a sweet soul who makes my days and nights very easy and simple to be with. And then I have these fabulous mentors who I love and who love me, and we have very rich conversations about our well-being.
Wow. So you're taking care of yourself. You're also walking your talk in that way, too.
And when I don't, it shows up. When I don't attract clients. The more I take care of myself, the more clients I attract. As a matter of fact, I think it's the biggest challenge as a coach is that if you're not walking your talk, I don't think you're going to attract clients. I think you have to be in alignment, because as coaches we say, we're going to help you be better, stronger at what you do. Well, if you look to me and I'm not doing it, how can I help you? And so it doesn't work.
Wow. Okay. Anna, do we have any other callers on the line?
Yes, we have. Debbie Exner, I'm going to unmute you in a moment.
Thank you.
See, you are on the air and you can make your question now.
Welcome, Debbie.
Hi. Thanks, Anna. Hi, Tamara. Hi, Marnie.
Hi, Debbie.
Marnie, I've been enjoying your interview very much, and I actually have two questions for you, because you talked about the family caregivers, and you also work with professional caregivers. What things do you have them, or what kind of suggestion could you make to professional caregivers to recognize burnout and maybe a first step they could take if they see signs of that?
Well, the thing I see a lot in burnout is resentment. Resentment and anger, you know, something around that. That's what I see anyway, that there's that where they came to the work at a certain point in their career when they came into it with a lot of joy and a lot of love and ease, and over time they've watched that just erode, and now they find themselves snappier, impatient. Maybe they're finding other relationships in their lives suffering. Maybe at work they're actually doing okay, but then when they get home, they're exhausted. They're slipping into they're doing a lot of habits that help them distract themselves from the feelings they have. So whatever that may be, watching TV or eating or doing self-destructive behaviors of some sort. So those are the types of things that I see and that I invite professionals to look for. And then what was your second question? What to do about that?
Yeah, just the first step. I mean,
well, for me personally, Debbie, I think the first step is acknowledgement. I can't say it enough. I think being honest with yourself. I know it's also part of the 12-step recovery programs. You know, when we admit to ourselves that this behavior is occurring, it's the first step for everything. And that's what I help people do primarily in my work, is this kind of constant this revealing to themselves about what's really happening, and having more and more courage to be honest with themselves about it and the impact it's causing. So I think that's the first and most important step, is admitting it to yourself. And I would like to use the language of the recovery, you know, admitting that you're powerless over it. There's something going on that is bigger than you. It's not your fault. It's not to be judged. It's to be understood. Once you understand and you look at it with kindness and acceptance, then you can move on and start doing something about it.
Great. Thanks. I had a second question.
Okay.
I think many coaches work with people, and you must in particular, with people who are givers, you know, so that all the caregiving that they do is really comes from their heart and from the desire to give. And
yeah.
I find sometimes people like that are challenged to receive. So I'm wondering how you help givers see maybe the benefits in receiving, because I know that can be a challenging task sometimes.
Well, I can speak to this personally, because if you had said those words to me a year ago, I would have not understood what you really meant, or brushed it off, or whatever. Well, there was a certain point where I was struggling with some issues because I did not know how to receive, but I didn't know that's what I was struggling with. And somebody helped me see it, helped me see that the problem I was struggling with in my life, which had to do with, as a matter of fact, I think it started with, I was going for some help. I was having an insomnia problem. I couldn't fall asleep, and this was like, I started caregiving in 2000 and, I'm losing track of time, maybe 2008, and at some point I stopped being able to fall asleep, where I would just lay awake for hours, and so I finally went to someone, a very wise person, who was able to help me start looking at it, and she helped me realize that I wasn't able to nurture myself at night as I was trying to fall asleep. And it's actually something I still struggle with, I'll be honest with about it. I'm still struggling with this. I haven't quite conquered it. And it's because it's difficult for me to receive my own nurturing. So the work I do fundamentally, whether I wouldn't say this if I was pitching somebody or explaining it because they wouldn't understand it, but the work I fundamentally do is helping people find a healthy balance between giving and receiving, because we don't know how to receive. What you said is absolutely true. We don't know how to receive. So I think it might come back to the first thing I said about acknowledging, helping somebody to see where they're not receiving maybe their own care. I don't know. Maybe that's where it starts. I'm still in the process of figuring that out. I'm learning along with all of my clients. You know, I think it's about how we take care of our... If we're not taking care of ourselves, then we can't receive our own love, so how can we receive love from other people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think it is, you know, that whole awareness piece is probably a lifelong piece, right? We become aware of
mm-hmm.
certain things, and then we become aware of new things, and it just continues. Thank you.
Well, and it's a habit, too, right? We're very, as givers, we are habitually, we grow, you know, we know exactly how to give. We haven't worked that muscle of reception and receiving very well. We don't even know how to notice that it's not happening. It's so buried, we don't know how to notice that we're not receiving.
Yeah.
So I think it's a powerful question, and the question that I invite my clients to sit with all the time. And when somebody realizes that, and it takes them a while, sometimes when I finally say something like, about the receiving, they're finally able to hear it because we've cleared away a bunch of other stuff, and they're finally able to hear it. I'll tell you what, that is a light bulb moment for them. I mean, I've heard people start crying when they realize, I don't know how to receive other people's attention and appreciation, and I don't even know how to give it to myself. That's when people start crying on the other end of the phone.
Yeah. Thanks.
It's very powerful. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Deborah, do you have any other questions for Marnie?
Nope, that's it for now.
Well, thank you for being with us. And Anna, we have time for one more question. Do we have another caller on the line?
At the moment, there is no other caller on the line.
Okay, I'll give the number in case anybody wants to call in quickly. 1-424-243-9638. And I'd like to also announce the next show, which is with another fabulous coach, Lillian Corey, and it will be Friday, December 16th at 2 p.m. Catherine will be back with you as the moderator, and you can go online for the show as well as calling in. The online is http://www.blogtalkradio.com/ICF Phoenix/. So we really appreciate this show today and Marnie being a powerful guest and sharing with us your work and how you got to becoming the caregiving coach. And I know that your clients are doubly blessed to be working with you as a coach. So is there anything else that you'd like to add, Marnie, before we start to wind down the show today?
You know, it's I think there's this feeling I have about being a business owner and being a coach that I love to share about the challenge and joy of figuring out how to serve people who are in need. You know, I'm at a point where I was able to have this conversation, be in this interview, because I spent a lot of time researching and understanding a very real problem that existed in our society that people were really struggling with. They were struggling with at a personal level, but also at that organizations and companies are dealing with the effects of, the impact of this. Both, as a matter of fact, what's interesting about this subject matter is that it affects employment issues. So, you know, I can go in and talk to corporations about the impact that caregiving is causing on their employees, that's taking them away from work time, that's taking them away from their focus on their work, that's a lot of causing a lot of time off. It actually, this issue costs company money. And there's research numbers that support that, as well as this issue affects organizations that provide services to families who are in need, and then it affects family dynamics. You know, the family unit that is so core to our society. But that process to understand all that, and then to figure out how I provide a solution that meets that multidimensional problem in our society, took a lot of time. And I just want to encourage anyone who is listening to me and maybe saying, wow, she's got something figured out, to say, what is it that you're meant to do? A mentor and trainer I worked with before I had this figured out said, Marnie, what is your work to do? And another business mentor said to me, what is the problem in society that needs to be solved that you see that you can solve better than anybody else? Those two questions, to me, were so powerful. And over time, investing myself in the problem I saw, investing myself in the marketplace, I spent a lot of time getting to know people, networking, asking a lot of questions, at its core, being very curious about the problem, finally led me to where I am today. And I'm just getting started. I mean, I'm what you're hearing is Marnie just at the beginning.
Well, Marnie, I can't wait to hear how this progresses for you, and I'm excited that maybe a video or a book is going to come out of all this fabulous work you're doing. I'd really like to thank you for joining us today on the ICF Phoenix Blog Top Radio Show, and I'd like to remind callers again that our next radio show will be Friday, December 16th at 2 p.m., and it'll be a coach conversation with Lillian Corey, PCC, and Catherine will be back as our moderator. So thank you all very much, and I wish all of you a very happy Thanksgiving and look forward to being with you again. Thanks again, Marnie.
Thanks, Tamara.